What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm Lewis Ezekiel. Joining me tonight to co-host my pal and yours, Ryan Downey. Ryan, how are you doing on this fine New Year's Eve as we get ready to kick 2024 to the curb and say hello to a hopefully better 2025?
I'm fantastic, Lewis. Happy New Year's to you and to all of our listeners around the world. I know some of you have probably already experienced 2025, and to you I say we're coming. Just a couple short hours away. But first, we have a couple of short shifts to get through here, Lewis. And why don't we get right into it without any further ado, so we can all get back to making merry on this New Year's Eve. We want to talk first about a trade that you made over the holiday break, one with some pretty high profile names, and one that was pushed to Elon Dubrovsky's phone this morning by Yahoo Fantasy, sending him an article about Matvei Michkov and whether it might be time to move off of him with the kind of, you know, less certain development or deployment, we'll say, in Philadelphia. You traded Michkov for Laine. Take us through the process of coming up with this deal, and how are you feeling now?
Well, I can't take too much credit for it, because this was a deal that showed up in my inbox, and I actually kind of let sit around for a while. I was mulling it. So I really was enjoying kind of the certainly the early season kind of Michkov for Calder kind of stuff that was going on. He seemed to be, you know, the fix on the power play. But he is a rookie and he is playing under John Tortorella. You know, it's a longer season certainly than he's had before, so he might hit that wall. And of course, you know, he's got a coach who is known for, you know, trying to prove a point at times. In recent days, Michkov has sat out for a third period. He has on occasion been scratched. So it has been a little concerning. And what I like about Laine is that, you know, obviously he's not going to keep shooting, you know, 25% or close to it like he has been on the power play. But, you know, he was brought in to be a trigger guy. You know, he is a number two overall pick, right? He is someone who, you know, there's a lot of, he's got a lot of things going for him. Has he lived up to those expectations? No. But, you know, as a guy who, you know, could be expected to be taking a lot of these shots on the power play, you know, that's quite appealing. And as Jeremy Frisillo, fellow Short Shifts co-host, pointed out, you know, he's really has been underperforming those even strength metrics. Now, he didn't have a great outing today. Laine did not. I think he recorded two hits. So, you know, not an outstanding start to the era of this trade. And Michkov did get on the board on Sunday, which was nice to see as well. But, you know, moving forward, I think what I was going for here was a more predictable deployment. You know, hopefully some regression to the mean in the positive direction at even strength. And even if he was going to potentially, you know, lose some of his power play production, at least on a game for game or a shot by shot basis, I thought that this was going to be an opportunity to, you know, I think upgrade a little bit here to maybe have a guy who can be a bit more consistent and who, you know, was brought to the team to be to serve a particular role, which I think is an advantage, you know, when you have a guy who they have a plan for, if that makes sense.
Totally makes sense to me. I told you what I thought when you asked us about this deal in the Short Shifts chat, and I told you I was all for it. I think when you look at Laine and Michkov side by side, although one is an NHL veteran and one is an NHL rookie, they are being expected to play a similar role on sheltered scoring lines with tons of power play opportunity. The one difference is John Tortorella, who coaches Philadelphia and occasionally has something to say about his you know, young offensive players who maybe don't pull their weight defensively. He had a lot of patience with Michkov earlier in the season, and Michkov flourished, you know, not having any of that time taken away. Recently, he's been benched and scratched, and although I think, you know, he may have a better fate than perhaps someone like Morgan Frost last year with Philadelphia, he may have a bit more, you know, runway to make those kind of mistakes, I think I would prefer getting the for sure deployment in Patrick Laine. The other thing that's interesting about Patrick Laine is, you know, he's now on this new team since joining Montreal at the beginning of December from his training camp knee injury. He has scored 8 goals and a lot of them on the power play. For sure, he's getting that opportunity. I think that would certainly continue, especially if you look at Cole Caulfield's numbers on the power play since then. The shot percentage for him has gone way down. Laine's has gone way up. So his role has certainly been usurped. And so I think you're going to give some of Caulfield's production to Laine for the rest of the season, as long as he can stay healthy. The last thing I'd like to say on Laine is, you know, he was recently in the media over the holidays for calling out some of his Columbus Blue Jackets compatriots. I won't say whether they were teammates or perhaps the general manager or the coaching staff, but he is excited to be in a new position here with Montreal, with a team that is trying to win every night. Whether or not they do or not, at least they're trying. And so he does seem to be renewed. And so I think I would do the exact same thing, Lewis, and take Laine over Michkov at this point of the season.
Yeah, and just credit where it's due for Michkov. Obviously, he, you know, has brought some real power play aptitude to Philadelphia. He has already surpassed, I believe, last year's overall power play leader in total points for the season. So that's a big step in the right direction. And, you know, like anytime I think you make a deal, I think you want it to turn out pretty decently for the person that you traded to as well. So I've enjoyed watching him and I've enjoyed having him on my roster. And I look forward to seeing him continue to play, even if he is no longer on my team. Another big guy we've got to talk about with regards to power play production. Let's jump over to St. Louis, where Cam Fowler was traded to St. Louis for Jeremy Biakabatuka and a 2027 second. Love to say that name. There was a Michigan great named Tim Biakabatuka. So I have lots of practice with the name ever since I was a little kid. But yeah, so Fowler, you know, has really flourished, I think, off of Anaheim, but I know you jumped in with a little more depth. So tell us what's going on with Fowler and should we be running off to grab him if he is available in our leagues?
Yeah, I got to say my first, when you just said over to St. Louis and let's talk about Cam Fowler, I bristled a little bit because that's not a team we're used to hearing with Cam Fowler. You know, the Anaheim Ducks, you know, draft pick played there his entire career up to this point. And so certainly it's weird to see him in different colors. He doesn't feel out of place at all in St. Louis right now. I was listening earlier today to the 32 Thoughts podcast from the Winter Classic, and Elliot and Kyle were interviewing Jake Neighbors, and they asked him about how he feels the Fowler trade has gone for them so far. And it's been about, you know, just over 2 weeks. They had a bit of a holiday break in there, so he's played a few games. And Neighbors had this to say. He said that Fowler has fit in perfectly and is exactly what they've been missing in their lineup. You know, they did have Nick Leddy on the roster at one point. He's out with a long-term injury. So they were missing a bit of puck moving, a bit of transition play on the roster. And so picking up Cam Fowler, although on the face of it, it doesn't look like St. Louis needs more veteran defensemen, it makes a lot of sense. Good on Fowler for getting out of Anaheim and going somewhere completely different, seizing the opportunity and making the most of it. He has had 6 points, I should say, 3 goals and 3 assists since the trade on December 15th, and is playing significantly more power play time than he did in Anaheim. Most likely due to the dearth of that skill set on the Blues roster. We've been looking for that St. Louis power play quarterback all year, Lewis. Do you think that Fowler has the potential to hold this long term, or are we still looking at kind of a Falk Broberg soup here of power play performance?
So, you know, I don't think Cam Fowler is gonna come in here and be a total revelation, but it's hard to deny that since he's been playing that they have played well and that he has really thrived in that position. You know, I don't think that anyone on that roster poses a especially strong threat to taking that spot back. Yeah, they're all kind of, you know, pick one to a certain extent with the guys that are available. But if he's able to produce, I think that he can hold that spot for as long as he's able to. 2 goals here in his 1,000th game in an early Winter Classic out on Wrigley Field. So that's pretty cool for him. I have to imagine that He is going to hold that spot for as long as he is able to be productive in it. And we have seen Blues players, you know, hold that spot while not being especially productive in it. So he may even have a little bit longer of a leash than that. But look, he's the new guy who's come in. He's making a change. I think until he, you know, maybe other teams are going to start to sort of figure out what he's doing there. And maybe some of the scouting comes back to bite him. But until that point, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't want to have the guy who's out there with Neighbors and Kyrou and Thomas and Buchnevich, you know, producing some excitement out there on the power play. So I'm into it. I would run to grab him if I could. I had to settle for a different kind of fill-in defenseman who we'll talk about a little bit later when we get into some injuries and outries. But yeah, I would grab Fowler while the opportunity is there. You know, I do think the Blues have been kind of hit or miss, but those top players have been quite productive. So it's almost like a Nashville situation where outside of those top line, top power play guys, there's really no one on the roster that is giving me a lot of excitement. So if Fowler finds himself on the outside looking in, I think you're able to pretty quickly, you know, be ready to move on, which also in its own way is kind of convenient because you're not kind of left wondering. It's while he has it, great. And if he loses it, then you move along.
Yeah, there's a real dearth in Kakupfel this year of good, you know, scoring defensemen in particular. They all seem to be snapped up, so you could definitely do worse than Cam Fowler. And I'll be looking at my free agency to see if he can be available for me, especially after today's two goal performance at the Winter Classic, which, by the way, Lewis, was his 1,000th game. How exciting for him and for his family that he gets such an exciting opportunity. And he probably will be the only player in history to score two goals in his 1,000th game at a Winter Classic.
Yeah, that's a real convergence of events that seems difficult to replicate. I think you probably got it there. Let's jump into some injuries and outries. The big one here is that Igor Shesterkin is done for the year, the year being 2024. But yeah, he has some kind of upper body issue. He is going on injured reserve. Louis Domingue has been called up. So it is Louis Domingue and Jonathan Quick season out in the Big Apple. Of course, we have seen that there have been some significant problems here in New York with the Rangers here. They've sunk down to the bottom of the Metro Division. They may have further to go now that the goalie that they just offered this massive contract to is out with this injury. We are seeing tweets that there are players who are quitting on the team. Just a lot of disappointment. Somebody in the Discord said that they had done a full speed run. Maybe this was you. I'll be embarrassed if this was you. But they had done a full speed run. Like, they had their rebuild that was ahead of the curve. Like, everyone was saying, oh, wow, you know, New York has pulled off their rebuild so much faster than anybody expected. Well, now they're back. You know, they've shot past that stage and are going back into the rebuild here. They've already hit their heights and now crashed. You know, I think Laviolette is not long for his time behind the bench, which honestly will probably be a benefit for the fantasy outcomes for the team once he moves on. But yeah, I mean, how are you feeling about Domingue or Quick as options here on the Rangers? Now, I will say, here's my mea culpa. I did talk about Quick earlier in the year when he was just a killer spot start. That was back when the Rangers somehow with this pretty much the same roster were actually playing well. But that didn't hold up and it did fade and he started to be more of a liability than he was an asset. So is taking on this role as being the main guy again, because I imagine Quick will get more starts than Domingue. Is that going to be a boon for him or is this just red flags everywhere screaming danger?
Lewis, all I can say is I hope that they sell spicy pork and rice at the MSG concessions because Louis Domingue is going to need it if he's going to help take some of the load here from Jonathan Quick. I'm thinking of it kind of like a Super Mario mushroom power-up that will just kind of, you know, gird his loins and hopefully keep him relevant here as New York circles the toilet bowl of the Metropolitan Division. I feel like I've been watching so many podcasts, listening to podcasts and TV shows where they're saying, when is it going to drop for the Rangers? You know, they've already moved on from Trouba. They've now moved on from Kaapo Kakko, who clearly was not the problem there. It looks like Laviolette, like you said, is going to go next. And then I guess we'll see. It'll be a huge shakeup, especially with some of these veterans rumoredly on the way out. And so, yeah, as it concerns Quick and Domingue, I don't want either of them, really. You know, we did have some good starts, you and I, with Quick last month. But I don't think he will be able to, you know, sustain the workload of being an NHL starter once again. Domingue, again, is a very fine number three goaltender. He's not quite as bad as a, you know, Jonas Johansson over in Tampa Bay, you know, but I still don't have a whole lot of confidence in him as a tandem goalie either. So I would just say this is bad for everyone. You know, avoid New York Rangers in general, I would say right now, but specifically avoid the crease.
Yeah, I think the one thing I might say is I could see being interested in Quick. After we see a coaching change, we might have a little bit of a dead cat bounce there at what would hopefully be, you know, really the nadir for the Rangers once they let Laviolette go and bring somebody else in. We might see kind of some short-term improvement. You know, if you are someone like Shams who loves to have five goalies on your roster at any given time, you know, that might be the time where I could be interested in going out and grabbing Quick. I have been sort of keeping tabs on Quick starting to disappear from waiver wires across the Kakupful. So, you know, I think that people are picking up on this news here and looking for an opportunity. But yeah, you know, like you said, I'm quite wary about it. I'm right now ready to let someone else take that risk. The time for me to jump on the risk, if Quick were available, would be after Laviolette gets fired and see if a new coach can't bring in some positive change. Ryan, we're going to run into a quick break here, but we'll be back on the other side with some injury updates, especially concerning some defensemen and then some forwards out in San Jose. You're listening to Short Shifts.
Sometimes it's nice to get out, isn't it? A little bit for some of us. Sometimes. Okay, I said sometimes. And you know what? Game Time has tickets for you to get out for all kinds of events, concerts, shows, not just sports, but boy, do they have sports. I'm actually looking through the app right now, which you can do to find out like what is going to be happening in your place of residence. Nelly, like this is how I'm learning that Nelly is coming to Ottawa in April. I mentioned Sesame Street Live on another ad spot, which is personally exciting. Jelly Roll coming in March to the CTC. I've also got tickets for the World Junior Hockey Championships. Those are more expensive than the tickets for anything else I've mentioned. But Game Time Picks is this amazing feature on the Game Time app. It filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. That's so annoying. So Game Time Picks is going to curate what you get to see so you can save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater. And Game Time offers Game Time ticket coverage. Your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Wow. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code THPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code THPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today, because what time is it? Game Time.
It's the most wonderful time of the year for getting in on all the hoops, football, and hockey action at DraftKings Sportsbook. In the season of giving, we're being gifted college football and hockey, pro football and basketball, and pro hockey too, almost 24/7. And here's a gift for all new customers of DraftKings. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins when you bet just $5. Happy holidays from DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Welcome back to Short Shifts. All right, Ryan, we have a couple injuries on some key blue lines, some big deal players who are going to be missing some time, but maybe creating some opportunity for folks who could use a little bit of help on their defensive end. So Shane Gostisbehere is out for Carolina. Quinn Hughes now is week to week over in Vancouver. What are your thoughts on some potential replacements, and how anxious would you be to run off and maybe grab these fillers?
I would do it immediately. As I mentioned earlier, Lewis, I'm kind of hurting for defensemen and Kakupfel. I think many people are in my situation where there's not as many, you know, solid scoring defenseman options around. And so when I saw these two particular situations, my interest was certainly piqued. And the first one we'll talk about here is Gostisbehere's absence in Carolina. Rod Brind'Amour saying that he is going to miss some time, that he's not sure the extent of it, but it's longer than day to day. He was checked out this past Sunday for an upper body injury. And so, of course, we have to go with that next man up mentality in Carolina. And where once, you know, last season, two seasons ago, they had a ton of depth at that position with the departures of Brady Shea and Brett Pesce, that depth has been taking a hit. And so our options are few and far between. The options that are on the roster right now, of course, is Brent Burns, who could always rear that beautiful beard, step into a role that has been very familiar to him his whole career. Orlov, in his platform season with Washington before getting moved off to Boston, filled in here and there on the Washington power play when Carlson was out. The two young players that they could be looking at right here, and one of them in particular, Ty Smith, was practicing on the top unit, played 5.5 minutes on the top power play in the Canes' last game. He got the opportunity first. There's also Scott Morrow, who is in the AHL right now for the Charlotte Checkers. I could be very interested if he got that kind of opportunity for an extended period. I know a lot of us in the prospect world thought that Scott Morrow might get that call. Again, with the depth in Carolina taking a hit, that call up is coming, although it may still be too soon for him. He has performed fairly well, slightly under a half point per game pace for the Checkers. So as I said, it looks like Ty Smith is practicing on the top unit. What are your thoughts here about Smith, Burns, Orlov, Morrow, any of these guys standing out to you?
So I think Burns is the interesting one here, just because obviously he has been a, you know, power play one stalwart in the past. He has been kind of interesting. I really liked his shot production as of late. Over the course of his last six games, he has in reverse order, 2-3-0, not great, 3-2-4 shots. So definitely shooting the puck. He has 4 points in his last five games. That all is pretty appealing. So actually, he was a guy who I kind of had my eye on even before we saw the injury, although it never felt like the right time to pull the trigger personally. You know, I do think that, as you brought up, the fact that Ty Smith was getting a shot there does make me a little more hesitant to go and jump on Burns. Just because, you know, he was not the next person up the way I sort of expected him to be. You know, we have seen Ty Smith have some limited success in a power play role. We have certainly seen the Discord become very excited about Ty Smith on multiple occasions. Forgettable name aside, it is a name that people tend to get pretty psyched about. And I think he, you know, is going to get his chance somewhere sooner or later. I just don't necessarily know that now is the time. You know, had those 5.5 minutes. But, you know, can he maintain some production that will justify the coaches keeping him up there? The situation in Carolina just is a little too up in the air, I think, for me to feel super confident about making a move when, at least for me, making moves is at a bit of a premium. I've felt like, you know, for much of the season, I've been making moves in reaction, especially to injuries, because I've had such bad injury luck. I would love to kind of get ahead of things and be making moves for the next week rather than trying to catch up on the current week. So I'm not ready to jump into a Carolina power play QB until I see someone play a few games in that spot and maybe have some production there. And what that likely means is that degree of caution is going to push me outside of being able to run in and grab someone. Because I imagine someone is going to be less risk averse and just go for it in that case. So, Gossip Bear being out, I think, is definitely overall going to be damaging for the Carolina power play. He's been pretty nice in that role. You know, that's why they brought him back. I was sad to see Detroit let him go. I thought, who they brought in to replace obviously was not, Wallman was not up to the task, and obviously he's moved on by this point already. So not great. How about Vancouver, though? This is an interesting one. I will preface this right at the start by saying this was one that I was willing to take a risk on, and I went ahead and grabbed the guy that we think is next up. But tell me a little bit about the Quinn Hughes situation over in Vancouver and who the next player may be.
Yeah, a bit of mixed messaging coming out about Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson in Vancouver. Elliot Friedman on Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday said that there's not much concern there that this will be long term. And then a report came out the next day that Hughes at least would be week to week. Pettersson a little longer than day to day, but Hughes being week to week, that's a huge problem for that blue line, which only has him to move the puck. Rick Tocchet and his defensive coaching team there really prefer having six oak trees back there. When you have a Quinn Hughes, obviously you're very lucky to have that player. And so Quinn Hughes plus five oak trees, that's basically what you're looking at on the Vancouver blue line. So whoever takes on this role will need to be the diet version of the line walking, puck distributing backboard of the offensive zone that Quinn Hughes is. And the only guy who fills that skill set in Vancouver is Erik Brännström, who was recently acquired from Colorado, who recently signed him after Ottawa didn't qualify him. So he's been a bit of a suitcase the past couple of months, and he's certainly been a bit of a tweener, quad A type of player through the early going of his career. But as I said, he's the only appropriate choice on Tocchet's blue line here. I don't see any of Tyler Myers, Derek Forbert, Carson Soucy, Noah Juulsen being able to maintain the same pace of play that a Garland or a Miller will want to operate at on that top unit. You need someone who can move the puck, and that's just being frank about it. So it seems like Brännström, just like Alan McCauley in the Leafs 2002 playoff run. Yes, Leafs fans, you'll get that reference, I'm sure. He's about to be thrust into a much larger role than he'd have likely anticipated coming into the season. So what do we have to look at when it comes to Brännström? Well, in the game without Hughes so far, from a couple nights ago, three shots in his last game. That's pretty promising. 19 minutes and 45 seconds on the ice in that game. Certainly more than he is used to getting. So let's see if that extra time, helps him keep up the offensive engagement. Is he a good option? Who knows? But the time is now if he wants to prove he can impact the NHL game. If it doesn't go well, I could see him returning to the Swedish Hockey League as soon as next year. He'll be 26 entering next season. And if he can't seize this opportunity now, then I don't know if he ever will be able to seize the opportunity. Lewis, I know you're using him this week, as you mentioned, as part of your IR maximizing strategy. How are you feeling about owning Brännström right now?
So, I would say I am feeling like he has three games over the next 4 days. And that is my primary reason for picking him up. I had Oliver Ekman-Larsson hit the IR with the sniffles. So I had that open spot. And if I do it right, I can get five games in 6 days out of this slot. So that's my main motivation here is sort of working the schedule. However, as someone who lost Sean Durzi and Drew Doughty before the season even started, like you, I have been very much behind the eight ball in terms of getting defensemen onto my roster. So should he be successful in this spot and, pick up some power play assists and look like he's moving the puck properly, I might be along for the ride, at least until Hughes gets back. Certainly, a Hughes return means Brännström is immediately waiver wire fodder. But yeah, we'll see how these next three games go. He's going to be on my roster during that period regardless. And then we'll find out if I'll be dropping him or if I will be dropping some other underperformer to get a couple games from that slot for Oliver Ekman-Larsson coming back from whatever illness he is experiencing. A couple other quick ones that we'll try to get through relatively swiftly. We've got in San Jose, it looks like Fabian Zetterlund and Eklund are going to be missing some time here moving forward. I don't, you know, this obviously hurts the offensive depth for the Sharks. You know, it may provide some opportunities, but really I feel like these wingers are more of the straw that stirs the drink outside of Macklin Celebrini himself. So this doesn't do a whole lot for me other than, you know, make me feel like anyone starting against the Sharks is going to have a better time. And anyone starting a Sharks goalie is going to be missing some of that run support that they hope to have. Anything interesting for you out of San Jose?
Well, I agree with you on the overall, impact on the San Jose team right now. But there's one person who this might be very exciting for. With these two premium winger options out, the San Jose Sharks last season signed a NCAA free agent forward, Colin Graf, who recently won a title with Quinnipiac. Lewis, I know you're pretty into the college hockey, and this is certainly not a Go Blue moment, but Colin Graf, certainly you'll be okay. Colin Graf, he played an integral role on that team, and he's played an integral role this year on the San Jose Barracuda. He's tied for first among AHL rookies with 26 points of the year. 20 of those points are assists, and he leads that group, which is very exciting for him and for anyone who took the plunge in Dynasty on Graf. If you're a guy who makes his living on playmaking like Graf does in the AHL, then there are certainly worse guys to be passing to than Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith. I doubt that they elevate Kovalenko or Barkley Goodrow, both guys who seem to be, bottom six, to be charitable, should be maybe out of the league if I was being less charitable. Unless they absolutely had to, I don't think that they would elevate either of those guys. So why not throw the young guy on a line with the other two young guys and see if they can hold their own? I'll share that the consensus over at the FHL shop was that Graf would be a depth guy for San Jose eventually. You know, Victor had him placed in the 2024 draft at around 30 to 40. So a second round pick for his potential and his skill if he had been eligible. So second round talent who San Jose got for free by expressly promising him opportunity. I wouldn't be surprised to see him stick there in the interim. He reminds me a little bit of like a Lekkerimäki in Vancouver, but without the upside.
Yeah. One other thing I'll add is that we did see, we saw Jesse Puljujärvi hit the waiver wire as well. And I wonder if a team like San Jose wouldn't be looking to take a chance on him with their winger depth as a setback as it is, and that might provide him a little bit of opportunity there. So just one other little thing that I might keep an eye on. But again, that's pure speculation. I am not in the heads of any of these coaches. I'm simply looking at a team whose wingers are all injured and who could maybe use some short-term help before, maybe they toss him to the waiver wire again.
Talking about teams with wingers going away, Lewis, this is just so depressing on New Year's Eve. We need to really pep up the energy here. Let's talk about a winger who's returning, and let's talk about Jonathan Drouin with 4 points in 5 games this season. He is returning tonight against Winnipeg. The game is just starting, so we don't have anything to share about Drouin right now, but he had a ton of ice time in his most recent return from injury. I think probably this is because they were so short-staffed at the time. I doubt they give him 20 minutes, for instance, this time around, especially since the Avalanche offense has been hot. Lekkonen is back, scored a hat trick in their last game. I'm expecting a bit of a slow start from Drouin, so I wouldn't rush out and add him until he does something. But if he does something, I think you should move quick. Is this a player you're going to keep an eye on, Lewis, over the next couple of games?
Yeah, anyone who gets opportunity in Colorado while that opportunity lasts, they're going to be an interesting person to move on. So, yeah, as you said, I think just keep those eyes peeled, see where he ends up. See what sort of opportunities he has. That's something that I am interested in. And, he's a guy who we've seen be productive when given good opportunities in places like Colorado or Tampa Bay that have high-end skill.
And speaking of Tampa Bay, you've brought us to another winger who might be coming back. Jake Guentzel is day-to-day. He's not practicing in a no-contact jersey, but he is practicing on a line with Kucherov and Point. He's traveled with the team on their recent road trip. And so I don't think we'll have to talk about, who might be taking that role. So we won't need to mention any Mitchell Chaffees or, whether Darren Radish is going to play the flank on the power play. And we certainly don't need to talk about Cam Atkinson again. Right, Lewis?
No, although we have seen him put in some positive positions, but I agree with you. This is one that we can still shy away from. I think when and if Atkinson puts something together, that's great. But I don't think we need to be, beating ourselves up over not running out and grabbing the cat, not the DeBrincat, but the other cat in these opportunities.
And finally, getting through the injuries here, we had a bit of an update from Dallas. They haven't had a league-sanctioned practice since they returned from the Boxing Day debacle of the optional practice for those young guys. But we did get an update from DeBoer that Mason Marchment will be out week to week. I suggest throwing a dart at the Dallas roster to figure out his replacement. They're fairly deep there, but one player I'd like to point out here with our limited time is Logan Stankoven. A friend of the Fantasy Hockey Life podcast, Shane, who helps us with the patron casts there. Shane, the manager of the Tidy or championship winning Taiwan Travelers in our Fantasy Hockey League tier Dynasty League, told us the other day he thinks this might be the last time it will ever be possible to buy low on Stankoven in his entire career. I think it's possible that time has already passed in Dynasty because we love getting stanky with it, especially over at FHL. But Logan Stankoven might be out there in your redraft leagues and in Kakupful, and he could easily move up and down the lineup to plug holes. If he gets 18 to 19 minutes a night, you want this guy on your team. He may even have a Mason Marchment-style impact.
Yeah, just 22% rostered across Yahoo and actually went down over the last day. He is really helping himself look like a good buy low opportunity because he has not scored on his last 43 shots over the last 18 games. You imagine that a few of those go in and he's going to be in good shape. 89 shots, just 4 goals on the season. So someone who is, not living up, I think, to the sort of basic forward shooting percentage we would like to see. And certainly as a guy with some skill, we might be able to see things go a little even better than that. So yeah, he's really offering himself up as an opportunity. If you've got someone in your league who, is frustrated with his production and holding on to him, he could probably be had for fairly cheap, especially with, some of the lack of success that we've seen over the last little bit. So definitely a guy to keep an eye on, a guy who, is people have been waiting for him to break out and maybe his opportunity is coming. If he sees that jump in minutes, like you talked about, that would mean, a jump in 2 to 4 minutes a night, depending on how he's been doing on his other, in some of these other games, if he does get up into that 18-19 range. So that would be a cool opportunity to see from him. And for our hot and cold section, we wanted to focus on the positive here. We are excited to see the suddenly hot Buffalo Sabres. We have to give credit to Elizabeth, who has made room on her. The Sabres are picking it back up, bandwagon for all of us. As someone who drafted Paterka and Dahlin, I'm very happy to see things start to move here. So this is a big upgrade, I think. Tell us a little bit about what the previously moribund Sabres were up to and what they are up to now.
Lewis, it's the holiday season, and according to the classic Christmas movie Home Alone, Christmas is the season of perpetual hope. And lo, a Christmas miracle befell the Buffalo Sabres as they dismantled the New York Islanders on Long Island to the tune of 7-1. Since that 7-1 drubbing of the Islanders, here are the key Buffalo players that are popping off. Some of them who preceded this game, but this is certainly what's happened since then. Dahlin with 7 assists. Jack Quinn with 4 multi-point games in his last 6. JJ Paterka, point per game, 9 points in 9 games with a 6-game point streak in there. Dylan Cousins, 4 points in 3 games played, 6 in his last 5, with his turnaround starting 2 games sooner on the Eastern Canada swing through Montreal and Toronto. Even Tage Thompson is contributing with 4 points in three games. Alex Tuch had a hat trick the other night. You know, the best remedy for a 13-game losing streak, which they were experiencing throughout December, is to have a stretch of games against three other horrible teams in New York, St. Louis, and Chicago, and to have all of that positive aggression hit at once. And like you, a Dahlin and Paterka drafter and a Quinn drafter in another league, I'm very excited to own them while they're on their team-wide hot streak, and I'm hoping that the festivities will last until week 15, when my regularly rostered Buffalo Sabres become the strongest off-night core you could ask for, with their two games being only on off-nights on Wednesday and Friday. So let's hope that this Christmas miracle lasts, instead of 12 days of Christmas, maybe 24 days of Christmas. Let's see if we can double it, and let's make sure that we can get them to that week 15, where they will be very valuable for you as matchup maximizer streams.
Yeah, the puck just dropped in their game against Dallas, so we can find out what they are able to put together here. Of the folks that you mentioned, and those who I think are going to be most likely to be available, Jack Quinn, I think, has been really interesting. He was an outstanding stream last week. Unfortunately, my opponent was streaming him. But yeah, three multi-point games in a row, six shots across those games. And in the game where he didn't shoot, he put together a couple of assists. Definitely like to see that. Also, over the course of these last three games, Quinn has been up on that top power play unit with Zucker, Thompson, Paterka, and Dahlin. That is a group that has put together three power play goals over the course of the last three games. And so they are finally starting to find some success there. Quinn has also been playing with Cousins and Paterka, who over the last three games have three even strength goals for and none against. So I don't see any reason why you would start to take that line apart. I think overall Quinn is the guy that I'm looking at as the one who is most likely to be available and out there to grab. And he would be my top guy to go for, I think, for your waiver wire.
Yeah, I got Quinn on Sunday as my Sunday savior. He did save the day for me with 2 points, and he put me over the top to win that matchup. Very happy with that. Other guys that you could look at if you're interested in delving really deep, if you believe in the Buffalo Sabres, Jiří Kulik has 3 goals with 5 points in his past 5 games, and Zach Benson chipping in with 2 goals in 3 games. So you could certainly do worse than some of those guys.
Yeah, glad you mentioned those boys too. Both getting some power play two time on a pretty decent power play too, with Tuck and Cousins and Owen Power on the blue line. The real problem is they just are not seeing very much of the time at all. Like I said, over the last three games, that top power play has had 67% of the available time, just 18% for that group that I just mentioned. But still, I think if the Quins of the world are not available, Kulik and Benson definitely making some interesting waves as well. Man, some exciting stuff here since the last show. I encourage you certainly to listen to the last mega show. You can check out that draft and see who you think is going to come out ahead. Given the information that we now have available to us, I think it's pretty interesting. Thank you for joining us, Ryan. I really look forward to doing this more frequently with you here in the upcoming year. Anything you want to say to the lovely fans before we check out here today?
Yeah, it's a real pleasure to be more of a regular part of the Short Shifts team here. Very excited to be taking on this challenge and to get the chance to speak with such great people like yourself, Elizabeth Shams, Jeremy, Elon, Derek. You know, I could keep going on and on, but it's great to be a part of the team. I'll just plug, check me out over on Blue Sky at It's Me Downey, all the stuff.
Whatever.
To follow people on Blue Sky. I'm trying to be a bit more active over there. And check us out over at Fantasy Hockey Life, too. We'll be recording one of our monthly Tidy Takes episodes, which is kind of the show that I steward a little bit over there, where we talk about what's going on in our FHL tiered Dynasty League. If you're interested, feel free to reach out to us, and we'll, we're always looking for managers and people to take over teams on wait lists, as we are in the Kakupful as well. So if you're looking for a chance to, get in with some of these high class fantasy managers at Keeping Carlson or Fantasy Hockey Life, now's the time. It's a new year. 2025 is here. Happy New Year to everybody.
Yeah, they say steel sharpens steel, which never made a ton of sense to me, but I do understand the idea that playing against tough competition will help you become tougher competition. So maybe we can do without the metaphor. But yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group. KeepingCarlson.com/patron. Super supporters receive ad-free episodes. You can interact with Brian, Elon, the Short Shifts crew, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers on our active Discord server. And of course, apply for an opportunity to take over a team heading into the new year here. So get some experience playing in the Cupful. Make sure you're checking out GameDayTweets.com to get all the best information from Twitter, including team by team and searchable tweets by player name. You can find myself at Short Shifts Pod on Blue Sky. Been a bit of a holiday lull, but looking forward to getting back in the action there. Visit those sites and all of the other great sites we use to research our episodes at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. And until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.